WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is going on, beautiful people? It is a beautiful day to be a part of Current Sports. Yes, so glad you allow Current Sports to be a part of your Wednesday afternoon. We have a fantastic show in store for you. In just a moment, we'll be talking with the publisher of the Midwest racing scene, Terry Fitzwater, as Terry is really going to dive into that whole Tony Stewart and Kevin Ward Jr. story and give us his thoughts on that situation that is really just taking over the headways of the world of sports. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk about the Tigers, who continue to lose four straight now. Yes, they fall to the Pirates last night. 15,000 attend Meet the Spartans. And Barbershop Wednesday, folks. Have you seen the video of Cassante York? Yes, the Michigan right receiver, cold cocking just some random guy outside of a bar. I mean, it is very disturbing stuff. We'll discuss what should happen to Cassante York. And is LA ready for a football team? Yeah, all of that and so much more. Current Sports starts right now. And as custom here on the show, before we get to all of that, here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, brought to you by the great, fantastic, always smooth Alex Sharp.
Good afternoon, I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Wednesday, August 13th. The Detroit Tigers lost its fourth game in a row last night, falling in Game 2 of 4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates 4-2. Robbie Ray gave up 4 runs in 5-plus innings while making a spot start for the weary Tigers. Detroit has lost 6 of 7 as it battles Kansas City for the lead in the AL Central. The Kansas City Royals lost last night to the Oakland A's, so they still hold a 1.5 game lead over Detroit. The Tigers officially placed right-hander Anibal Sanchez on the 15-day disabled list with a right pectoral strain and recalled left-hander reliever Blaine Hardy from AAA Toledo. And the Tigers got a break on Tuesday as an MRI on Cy Young Award winner Justin Verlander's shoulder revealed no major structural damage. However, Osmus called it unlikely that Verlander will make his next scheduled start on Sunday against Seattle. A record crowd of 15,000 people attended the 12th annual Meet the Spartans Tuesday evening at Spartan Stadium. The event gave Spartan fans the chance to meet the entire 2014 Michigan State football team and received autographs from players and head coach Mark D'Antonio. Fans also toured the press box, visited the Spartan Stadium field, met with Sparty, and took photos with the 100th Rose Bowl and 2013 Big Ten Championship trophies. In addition, Spartan Sports Network gave fans the opportunity to describe a memorable moment as a play-by-play announcer. Ann Arbor Police Tuesday released a video that shows suspended University of Michigan wide receiver Cassante York punching a 23-year-old man outside of a downtown bar last month. The victim appears to have not known the punch was coming, as it knocked out a tooth and broke his jaw in three places, requiring it to be wired shut through the use of a breathing tube. York, at the age of 20, is wearing a fishing cap in the video, and his teammate DeMario Jones got into a confrontation because York believed the victim bumped into him. A judge sentenced 20-year-old Detroit man, who admitted to shooting and killing Eastern Michigan University football player Demarius Reed last year, to a sentence of 18 to 30 years in prison on Tuesday. Christopher Pratt stood Tuesday before Washtenaw County Trial Court Judge Donald Shelton and offered a small remark on his own behalf. Quote, I apologize to the family, end quote, Pratt said after moments of hesitation with little emotion in his voice. The Tuesday sentencing closed the case into the murder of Reed, a 20-year-old Chicago native. Pratt had pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. NBA Hall of Famer Magic Johnson believes that LA will be recipients of an NFL team within the next 2 years. He said, quote, I think for the first time, I truly believe we're going to get a team. Finally, everybody is on board. The city is on board. The business community is on board. The NFL is on board. Finally, we have momentum. In the next couple of years, at least in the next 24 months, I think one team will be coming. I don't know what that team will be, but I believe in the next 2 years, we'll have a team, end quote. The NFL has not played a game in LA over a decade. This could change very soon. Speaking of LA, the sale has officially been finalized for Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer to acquire the Los Angeles Clippers per Shelly Sterling, wife of former NBA owner Donald Sterling. The news was announced yesterday by Commissioner Adam Silver. The NBA Board of Governors approved the $2 billion acquisition, and it was contingent on the team being forwarded onto Donald Sterling's wife, Shelly. Looks like Donald Sterling's saga is officially over for now. UFC fighter John Jones suffered a leg injury during training and will postpone his heavyweight title match against Daniel Cormier. The fight was scheduled on September 27th in MGM in Las Vegas and is now tentatively rescheduled for January 3rd at the main event of UFC 182. The nature of Jones' injury is not known, but anonymous sources say it is a torn meniscus in his left knee and a sprained ankle. And finally, in NFL training camp, the Dallas Cowboys and Oakland Raiders had a joint practice yesterday, but it turned into an all-out brawl. The brawl started due to a hard tackle by Dallas cornerback Morris Claiborne, and melee ensued. Then, B.W. Webb of the Cowboys swung his helmet at a fan, thinking that someone was on his back. Police dogs and officers separated the players and fans onto separate sides, and there has been no further action from the NFL. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Wednesday, August 13th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. Lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex, for those quick hit headliners. As the man just said, our phone lines are now open and they will stay open throughout this entire hour. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that we talk about and discuss here on the show, you know what you can do. You probably got the number on speed dial right now. That's right, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Man, oh man, I'm always excited about each and every current sports show, and I'm certainly excited about today's. As you just heard, there's a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about today, from the Tigers falling to the Pirates. That's now four straight losses for them, to the record attendance at the Meet the Spartans event, to our Barbershop Wednesday topic. And speaking of brawls, Alex, yeah, there was one that took place with Kasante York. As you just heard, Kasante York, he's caught on video, folks. If you have not seen the video, it has gone viral. It is everywhere. You can probably just Google Kasante York and assault, and the video will pop right up. It was released yesterday evening, and it shows suspended University of Michigan wide receiver Kasante York punching a 23-year-old man outside of a bar last month. Now, if you watch it, it looks as though there was some type of discussion going on between Kasante and Kasante's friend at the time to these other gentlemen. And all of a sudden, you see the friend kind of walk to his side, and the other gentleman who Kasante's friend was talking to sort of walks toward Kasante in a way. It wasn't like he ran up on him, like in his face or anything. He kind of just walked toward him, just kind of talking to him. He was actually faced the other way from where Kasante was facing. And then in the blink of an eye, all of a sudden, Kasante just winds up and just cold cocks this 23-year-old guy right in the face. I mean, it is so blatant, so disturbing. It kind of makes you cringe. I mean, and you just heard throughout our headliners, the victim did not know the punch was coming at all. Didn't even have a chance to defend himself. It looks as though the injury caused a tooth to be knocked out. The victim broke his jaw in not one, not two, but three different places, requiring it to be wired shut through the use of a breathing tube. Yes, he was on a breathing device, folks. And, boy, I tell you, York, you can see in the video, he's wearing a fishing cap, and it just comes out of nowhere. And, it's really disturbing stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how Brady Hoke and the University of Michigan football team handles this if they hand down a harsh suspension. I tell you what, I got some strong thoughts on it. I'm sure Alex does as well. Some very strong thoughts when it comes to Brady Hoke and what we think should happen to Kasante York. Again, it's one thing to read a report and to sort of form your own opinion about it, but it's another thing to see the video, to see it happen right in front of your eyes, to see the situation ensue. Now, we don't know what was said during that conversation between Kasante and those individuals involved at the time. We don't know what was said. The video does not have audio. But looking at just what happened, from what we see from that video, it just kind of looks dirty. Looks very, very dirty. Kasante, just walk away. I always say, why, in a situation like that where you are a public figure, and I feel as though a lot of kids who play college football or college basketball or just play a sport where they're known for what they do at the college level, you automatically become a public figure whether you want to or not. And you have to carry yourself in a certain way. Now, there are some young, and many, there are many young athletes who understand that concept and who will walk away and don't put themselves in that position. But there are some that just don't understand that spectrum and don't think rationally during situations like this one. So, interesting stuff. If you have not seen the video, check it out on YouTube or, Google it. If you have seen the video and have some thoughts on it, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That's the first part of our Barbershop Wednesday today. And also the second part, as you just heard, Magic Johnson, he's an MSU alum, former L.A. Laker, former hoop great. He believes that the city of L.A. is ready for a football team. Interesting stuff. When you think of L.A., it being one of the premier cities in this nation, you would think that it would already have its own football team, but, it hasn't yet. And Magic Johnson believed is right around the corner. I want to get your thoughts on that as well. Is L.A. ready for a football team? Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, folks. A great show. And you know what? One of the hot-button topics coming out of the weekend that we really dove into to some length happened to take place on Monday's current sports, and this incident took place over the weekend. Now, as many of you know, we talked about Tony Stewart, the famed driver, NASCAR racer, Tony Stewart. He was involved in a pretty unfortunate accident over the weekend that involved a 20-year-old driver by the name of Kevin Ward Jr. Kevin Ward Jr. was killed over the weekend. Due to Tony Stewart's car during a race, his car weaving into and hitting Kevin Ward Jr. He died moments later, folks. It was a horrific accident. That video is also all across the internet and sparked up a lot of conversation in the sports world and beyond it. It's interesting news that came out, from this story that was released pretty earlier this morning, around 11 a.m. or so. But the father of the driver struck by Tony Stewart's car, Kevin Ward Sr., he had an interview with the Syracuse Post-Standard and said, quote, "There's no reason for the crash that led to his son's death." Now, Kevin Ward Sr., he told the newspaper that, quote, "Tony Stewart was the best damn driver by far on that track that night. Why he had to go up as high as he did and hog my son, there's no reason for it," end quote. Now, when the 20-year-old Ward got out of his damaged car, he walked onto the track. Again, this is all seen in this video. He walked onto the track and appeared to point at Stewart in rage. Other cars drove past him. Even the car in front of Tony Stewart, just weaved by him. But Stewart's right rear tire appeared to hit him and dragged him along the track. Again, Ward Sr. goes on to say, quote, "Apparently Tony Stewart was the only one driving out there who didn't see him," end quote. So there's obvious anger coming from Kevin Ward's father when it comes to this incident. Deservedly so. I mean, this is his son, who was tragically killed in an accident like this. He feels as though the accident could have been avoided. There's definite anger coming from Kevin Ward Sr. Now, the investigation on this whole incident is still taking place by authorities, and of course we will be updating you on this story throughout each and every day, each and every passing week here on Current Sports. And I'm glad to have certainly a man who's been on Current Sports before, a part of today's show. His name is Terry Fitzwater. He is the publisher of the Midwest Racing Scene and has been covering the world of racing since 1984. He certainly knows his stuff. Terry, so glad to have you back on Current Sports. How you doing, my man?
I'm having a great day, sitting on a pontoon boat in front of the waterfront restaurant on our new boat taxi, and it's a gorgeous day, and looking forward to a great week of weather here in the Great Lakes State.
Oh, my goodness. I am jealous right now. I wish we could teleport and switch positions right now. That sounds like a great outing right there, Terry.
Yeah. I tell you what, you get off here, you come on down, we'll ride up and down the river. It's been a lot of fun doing it the last couple of days, so. But there's a lot of stuff going on in motorsports, too, that's for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, let's dive right into it, Terry. So glad to have you on to talk about this. Again, this was, the hot-button topic that we dove into on Monday's show. Not only just the racing world, but the entire world of sports is talking about this very story. Now, when you saw the video of Tony Stewart clipping Kevin Ward Jr., it's really, really disturbing to watch. It's hard to watch. But what was your initial reaction to the video of Kevin Ward Jr. being hit by Tony Stewart? What was your initial reaction, Terry?
Yeah, you're right. It is a disturbing video to watch. But my initial reaction is, what is this guy doing getting out of his car and walking down into the line of traffic? Yeah, granted, another car avoided him, but he was still walking towards Tony Stewart's car when he came out. And remember, they just got in the yellow flag, so in the main straightaway, and this was just outside of turn two. So these cars are just slowing down. You know, they were going, over almost 100 miles an hour, mm-hmm. and to slow down that quickly and have control of their car, that's pretty tough. Looking at the video, I just think Kevin Ward Jr., he was mad that he got put into the wall, but it was, you know, whether it's Tony Stewart's fault or his fault, nobody's fault, it doesn't matter. You don't get out of your car and walk down into the line of traffic and point your finger like they do in the Sprint Cup Series and, think that you're immune to anything that could go wrong there. I place this squarely on Kevin Ward Jr.'s shoulders for what happened. Now, with that said and done, Tony Stewart has the reputation of being a hothead. And I think the only one who knows if he did anything, let's just say on towards, or if his anger was up that he was being shown up by a 20-year-old kid that was driving up there and he hit the gas and accidentally hit him. I don't think we'll ever know. But when all these people on the internet say Tony Stewart murdered that guy, that's just not true. This guy was very reckless and negligent and walking towards the vehicle, and I put the blame squarely on his shoulders for what happened.
When looking at the situation, Terry, do you think that Tony Stewart could have avoided him? Because, that's what many people are alluding to as well. And, of course, Tony Stewart's dad, Kevin Ward's dad, commenting on this, he felt as though Tony Stewart could have avoided him and this accident could have been totally avoided in the first place. Do you agree with that?
It's without being on that track, it's possible, but there's two things that one, did Stewart think that he had he cleared the Kevin Ward Jr. because it looked like he coming out of turn two, he was ahead of him, but when he went up the track, that's when he got into his front wheel, his rear wheels hit his front wheel, and Ward spun and hit the wall. The other thing that I don't know about Tony Stewart, that he'd raced there before, but if you're not running on the track on a regular basis, you don't know the grip of the track, and so when he came up off that, out of the turn, so you don't always be, you're not always able to control your car and pinpoint accuracy. Ward was clearly passed. You let the guy in front of you go. That's you doing sprint car racing.
Terry, when looking at the situation, another discussion it's been coming up constantly is this culture of racers that have, it's been dating back to I don't know how long in the world of racing, but the culture of racers getting out of their car during a race. I've seen it multiple times, where a racer is upset about something and wants to vent about his frustration, will get actually out of his car and just kind of just going this whole tyrant rage of just pointing a finger and just going off. I've seen it countless times in the world of racing. Where did this culture stem from, and do you think something is going to change now with a big-time racer like Tony Stewart being involved with the death of a young racer in Kevin Ward Jr. now?
Well, I think the culture is going to change because I think this has caused such a national outcry in what happened. I would be surprised if some rules aren't changed. I know already in New York State and New Jersey, racetracks there have already changed rules and said, if you get out of your car during a race, other than your car being on fire, you're going to be fined or suspended. So you have to wait till an emergency vehicle approaches your car. And Tony Stewart himself has been on the other end of throwing stuff at drivers, and not only in Sprint Cup racing, but also in Sprint Car racing. He did it before to Kenny Irwin, a longtime nemesis of his. He's thrown stuff at him. So he's just as guilty of Kevin Ward Jr. coming down and throwing stuff. But I think where this really has escalated has been in NASCAR, where on TV you see the drivers when they're mad, they throw their helmets at cars, mm-hmm. point at them. And I think it's become – and NASCAR is just as much to blame because they help promote this. You see it in their promotional videos, seeing the drivers have being angry and throwing stuff and being out on the track. So I think that creates a culture where, hey, this is okay. This is popular to do. And everybody forgets you're driving race cars here. And, it'd be just like standing out on the highway with the construction crew. They're working – that people miss and they hit these guys and kill them. Now you got to go real slow
yeah.
in construction areas because people are standing in the line of fire. And the same thing is going to happen on a racetrack. And I'm surprised we haven't seen that before. It's probably happened before. It just didn't get the notoriety. But now you've got a three-time NASCAR champion and Tony Stewart out there hitting someone. Of course, it's going to bring that to prominence. And, I'd like to see him do something, quite honestly, because there's no reason for a guy to get out there and walk into the line of fire, point his finger, and show that he's a hothead. And I think, as Brad Keselowski from Michigan said, you're not going to stop that unless you actually penalize the guy. I mean, you know, they got to get out and you got to suspend them, you got to fine them, you got to dock them points in the chase. And that is the only way you're going to get these guys to get their temper under control, so that you're protecting them from themselves, actually, is what you're doing.
So, Terry, in other realms of racing, in other leagues, if you will, they actually fine racers for getting out of the car then.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see that change even more. Not necessarily, in NASCAR where they fine you for getting out of the car. It's the action that occurs after you get out of the car that they've been fined for. You know, the throwing the stuff, the pushing and shoving. Mm-hmm. The actual act of getting out of the car has not created a fine. But I know that discussion is going to be front and center. And it's going to be discussed not only in NASCAR, but IndyCar and in short tracks around the United States. I know here in Michigan, I've talked to some track owners. And they said they, you know, like at Auto City Speedway over in Ohio, they, at every driver's meeting, they tell their drivers, you don't get out of the car unless your car is on fire. You wait till the emergency vehicle gets there. If you do, you can be penalized or you can be disqualified for doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the publisher of the Midwest Racing Scene, who has been covering the world of racing since 1984, Terry Fitzwater. So, Terry, what do you think will and should happen to Tony, if anything?
Well, one, I don't believe, you know, and I think the sheriff in New York has already said that from everything you see, this does not look like premeditated murder. So first-degree murder charges, I'm 100% convinced, will not be brought against Tony Stewart. The only thing that they could possibly do is say that there was negligence. Tony should have seen him. And only through the crime scene investigation will they be able to tell that and let a jury decide. But I don't even think it's going to get to that point. And there may be a civil suit. But unless Tony has told them something like he was mad, hit the gas, trying to teach him a lesson, if he just said, hey, I didn't see the guy, he walked right down. And the video shows he walked right down in the line of traffic mm-hmm. and pointed his finger. So I don't think any criminal charges will be brought against him civilly, possibly. But the sad thing about this is Tony is now tarred and feathered with this for the rest of his life.
Right.
He's got to live with this, whether if he had any, you know, any sense that I want to hurt this guy, you know, or show him up by, you know, passing him and throwing dirt on him or something. Only he will know that. I think if he had told the police that, we would be getting something out of the sheriff's department or something. There'd be some leaks. I think what happened, Tony didn't see him. The guy walked in and got caught under Tony's wheel because they're wider than most and they're not covered by fenders. He got caught up and thrown 20 feet and was killed. And unfortunately, I think his own anger killed him. And Tony's got to live with the fact that he was driving the car that did it. And I don't think, and where I come to that conclusion is if you look at all the incidences Tony Stewart's been involved in his life, you know, where he's been pointing his finger, throwing some or pushing.
Yeah,
he never
yeah.
used a vehicle to hurt anybody. You know, this would be the first time he's done that, and it's a sprint car race on a short track in front of a small crowd. I can't see Tony Stewart getting that mad and doing that, especially when he's just trying to recover his sprint car career outside of NASCAR because a year ago he'd been in that incident where he broke his leg. So I don't see him doing that. It's not in his character. And I just think that the young 20-year-old lost his mind, and unfortunately it cost him his life.
Yeah, sad stuff. And, yeah, I definitely agree with you, Terry. Unless, you know, Tony comes out and says that, yeah, in anger, I maybe tried to send him a lesson and get close to him and, you know, I just lost control of the vehicle. Unless he comes out and says something like that, I mean, there's no, you know, hard evidence that shows that he did this intentionally. I definitely agree with you on that one, Terry. So, and I got to, you know, it really boils down to question in the racing scene. Do you think, Terry, that racing is the safest it could be?
Well, there's always, you know, yeah, it can always be safer because they're always finding different ways to make things better. But if you look at what happened, you know, the state of racing even 10 years ago, let's say when Dale Earnhardt Jr. was killed at Daytona before you had the Hans device.
Mm-hmm.
Every time there's a fatality or a serious injury with technology out there and as the popularity has become more mainstream, you get the scientists and stuff like that. Look at the University of Nebraska safer barriers or for crashes so that they can absorb some of the impact so the drivers are safer. Every time something happens, the reaction is, all right, learn from the accident, try and make it safer. It's getting more and more safe all the time, and there's less and less tragedies that occur in the sport. But, it's racing, and you're going fast, and you have to make split-second decisions. It's always going to be dangerous, just the nature of the beast.
Yes, that is certainly true. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to weigh in on this, you know that number. Yes, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right. Well, Terry, before I let you go out and enjoy this beautiful day, I got to ask you and talk about the Midwest racing scene. You're the publisher of it. How did that begin, Terry?
All right. Well, it started back in 2000. I've been covering racing through my newspaper career. I've been publishers of newspapers around the state of Michigan and for a number of years. And there was an auto racing publication that existed at the time called the Mark Times Racing News. But the publisher of the paper, we were getting older and a little cranky, and all the racetracks that were supporting this paper through advertising, he would go out in the paper and then he would criticize all the racetracks and tell them how stupid they were and the way they ran their tracks.
Oh, wow.
Well, I knew some of the owners, and they said, hey, look, why don't you start an alternative? You got a newspaper background. So my goal was, I'll be a promoter of racing. I'll put the results in. I'll put the winners' photos and put their press release. Here's who won at each track. And then we have columnists that can take, write what they want. But I was always to promote the drivers, the sponsors, and the tracks. And my modus operandi has been, hey, I see a problem, or if I have a disagreement with a track owner, we're going to do it behind closed doors. I'm not going to bring it out in the public eye. It's like social media in a way. I get mad at somebody, I'm not going to go on Facebook and rip somebody.
Exactly.
And let the whole world know about it. I'm going to be a gentleman and call the guy that I'm upset with. That's not what the other guy did. And within a year or two, he lost all of his advertising. And so my paper succeeded, but I'll tell you, in the way of newspapers, it's tougher and tougher to make a buck these days doing it, my
friend.
Yeah,
that's true. That is so true. So, with this publication, which I think is great, I mean, how can listeners follow your work for those out there listening to the show right now, Terry?
Well, there's a couple ways that things they can do. They can either go to the website, which is www.midwestracingscene. We're putting more emphasis on the Facebook page because it's more instantaneous, and so they can go to Midwest Racing Scene on Facebook. Or if they want to subscribe, they can call my number at 517-930-1368. That's 930-1368. And they can get a subscription, or they can reserve their spot on the waterfront boat taxi, and I'll take them up and down the river today.
That sounds like an awesome time. What a plug. There you go, Terry.
Yeah.
Gotta love that, man. All right, before I let you get out of here, are there any drivers from around the area to keep an eye on? Maybe some names that we'll be hearing in the future?
Oh, yeah, there's a kid from Owosso who's making a big name for himself. His name is Eric Jones. He's done some truck driving and some nationwide driving. He's got a deal with Kyle Busch, where he's driven in the truck series. He's also driven for Coach Gibbs. He's the up-and-comer. There's also, a lot of guys that do well in the Midwest, but there's a guy from California that's going to be at MIS this weekend that everybody's talking about. He drives the Target machine. It's Eric Larson from California, and he's tough. He's tough. It's Kyle Larson, not Eric. It's Kyle Larson. Watch for him. He's an up-and-comer. You got Austin Dillon in the NASCAR series. They're all at MIS this weekend, and you can see them. But from Michigan, the guy to watch, Eric Jones, Owosso, Michigan.
Eric Jones, folks. Keep that name in mind. Got to love it. And who do you think is the best driver in the game right now? Because I've been looking at, Jeff Gordon with his recent win, and, of course, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's having a great year. Who do you think is the best in the game right now, Terry?
Well, you look at Jimmy Johnson, he's there, but he's got a dynamic crew chief, too. They just make great calls. Jimmy Johnson in the last 10 years has been the best driver. But guys I look at on the track that they can really wheel it. You got Jeff Gordon still has it. Kyle Busch, he's a wild man out on the track. And unfortunately, nobody's talking about Tony Stewart. Until he got injured, Tony is still one of the best drivers. He's the A.J. Foyt of our generation.
Right.
He will get in a car. He'll drive a sprint car. He'll drive a midget. That's what A.J. used to do, and a lot of these guys like to do it. That's how Casey Kane, and you'll see some of these other guys. They'll run and short tracks around because, you know, that's what they do. That's what they love. And but I'd say the top five drivers in NASCAR right now, probably Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch, maybe Kevin Harvick, Tony Stewart, and dare I say, Dale Jr., you know, the guy who I didn't have a lot of faith in and thought he was overrated. But this year, he and his crew chief have clicked, and he's leading the points by four over Gordon, won three times. This is the career everybody was hoping he would have, and he's having it this year finally at Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah, he is certainly turning his, to say the least. All right, Terry. Well, and you're also doing as you just talked about, the water taxi business, right? You just got into it?
That's right. You can come down. I'll give you a ride up to Old Town. I'll take you to Rio Town. We'll just go up and down the river. Or you know, another thing is they can get on the boat. We'll sit there and we'll listen to the NASCAR race on Sunday on the boat. We can
nice.
Do all that. They got great service here at the waterfront. So it's something new for Lansing. So if you're not doing anything, come on down. I'll give you a ride.
Oh man, that sounds like an awesome experience. I'm gonna have to definitely take your word on that one, and I'll be seeing you soon, Terry.
All right, sounds good. And I tell you what, I won't crash you into the bank or in the dock, buddy.
Please
won't
pull
that off on you.
You know, Terry, please don't, because I can't swim. I cannot swim, Terry. It'll be a wrap. No more current sports.
All right, very, very, very good.
All right, there you have it. Publisher of the Midwest Racing Scene. He's been covering the world of racing since 1984. Terry Fitzwater, folks. Oh, gotta love him. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we have a ton to talk about. Tigers. We'll talk about Meet the Spartans yesterday. Barbershop Wednesday. That's right, a full speed show ahead. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. A new drug-resistant superbug is skyrocketing in hospitals in the Southeast, and it kills almost half of those who get it.
The fact that A, these CRE infections are so bad, and B, the fact that CRE infections are increasing in these community hospitals is what concerns us.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 o'clock.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, now joined by Alex Sharg, the man behind the glass is what I call him. He's playing some world music on this Wednesday. World Wednesday is what we like to call it here on the show. Alex, where is that little duty from?
It's a little bit of a,
a little duty.
Caribbean jam.
Nice. That's, well, you know, my mom is from Trinidad and Tobago, so, you know, I'm sure she's in her car listening right now to that joint. She's probably dancing as we speak. Thanks a lot for bringing it, Alex. I tell you, you are very diverse with your music.
Well, you know, tons of different diverse news out there today, from brawls to...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
To Tigers to... I mean, we're talking brawls. We're talking NFL and college football brawls, too.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is really insane in the membrane right now. We're definitely going to get to the Cassante York incident that, again, was caught on tape. Cassante York, sophomore U of M wide receiver who was caught on tape punching a 23-year-old man outside of a bar downtown Ann Arbor. Oh, boy. It's really just a glaring video. I mean, it happens right in front of your face. Again, you can catch the video. Just Google it. It'll pop up. Google Cassante York, and it'll probably pop up. And it's everywhere right now. A lot of people are talking about it, and we're asking you all to weigh in on it. What do you think should happen to Cassante York, and what were your initial thoughts after seeing it? Go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at Al Martin WKR, and you can call us right now at the studio, 517-355-9527. We have a comment right here, Alex, from Michael A. Beaton. He says, quote, Cassante York should be expelled under the University of Michigan Student Honor Code. It was a cheap and brutal punch, end quote. Again, that's from Michael Beaton. Thanks a lot, Michael, for weighing in on our Twitter page. You can tweet me again at AlMartinWKAR. We'll get to that in just a sec. Alex, we got to talk about the Tigers first. The Detroit Tigers, they have now lost 4 straight. It's just getting ugly right now. Thank goodness, though, the Kansas City Royals also fell to the Oakland A's. They got whomped last night to the Oakland A's. And I tell you what, it's only still just a half-game lead for the Kansas City Royals right now in that American League Central. But the Detroit Tigers just don't look good right now. Robbie Ray, he gave up 4 runs in 5-plus innings while making a spot start for the Weary Tigers. Detroit has lost 6 of 7 as it battles Kansas City again for that top spot in the division. And the Tigers also officially placed right-hander Anibal Sanchez on the 15-day disabled list. And for all of those who were definitely really panicking over the Justin Verlander injury, of course, JV went out 2 days ago with an apparent arm or shoulder injury, but an MRI revealed that Justin Verlander's shoulder revealed no major structural damage. He should be okay, folks. Thank goodness, because the Tigers, they need to just cut down on as much bad news as they can right now. But the Tigers, you know, I tell you what, they conclude a 2-7 trip, Alex, on which none of their 5 leading home run hitters hit a homer. None of them. None of their 5 leading home run hitters could not connect the 1-1, and that includes V-Mart, Miguel Cabrera, J.D. Martinez, Ian Kinsler, and Torii Hunter, who I may give a pass because he didn't start in 3 of those games. And I tell you what, looking at last night, wasn't really surprised. I mean, I'll tell you what, something I was surprised, because if you look at yesterday's game, Ray, who pitched and started for the Tigers yesterday, I mean, he started off really, really shaky, especially in that second inning. I mean, I'm looking at Robbie Ray like, oh, this could be a disaster. But you know what? As the game went on, he seemed to settle in and really salvage his start, if you will. I was really impressed how Robbie Ray, I mean, because he could have easily just panicked and it could have went really, really, really downhill very, very fast. We could have, I mean, even though the Tigers, it was a 4-2 game last night, it could have been very, very worse. But, you know, he seemed to settle in and control things. But the thing about Pittsburgh is, especially when you have a team like the Tigers who cannot get consistent hitting in any way, shape, or form as of recently, Detroit has to really start to capitalize against a team like Pittsburgh. You have to capitalize on average starting pitching, if you will. Pittsburgh, think about Pittsburgh. They have a great bullpen, a fantastic bullpen, which is the reason why they've been having some recent success. And if you look at Tony Watson in the eighth, watching that game, Tony Watson was spectacular for the Pittsburgh Pirates in that eighth inning. He retired Ian Kinsler, Miguel Cabrera, and V-Mart in that order in the eighth to just really just stomp on the throat of the Tigers and to put them in desperation mode going into the ninth. I mean, it was just really, really just alarming. And if Detroit doesn't, in this series against Pittsburgh, if Detroit doesn't capitalize on that starting pitching early in the game and start to get off on a roll, the Tigers, they just can't seem to get things going near the end of the game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and for Robbie Ray, this guy could legitimately start on most MLB teams, get into a rotation. But the problem with the Tigers is they just have 5-star pitchers. And for a guy like Robbie Ray, it's just hard to get him in. I mean, he's only pitched 3 games, 1-2. And you remember his first game, we were talking earlier on the year in April when he first pitched, you know, 6 innings, 1 hit. I remember the exact game we were talking about, and we were like, all right, this guy's for real, but it's not his time. He's just not quite ready yet. He still has a little bit of maturing to do. He can't really go long in games. As you can see, he struggled a little bit, but it seems like his pitch count is getting a lot better, Al. It looks like for the next 3 or 4 weeks, he can be a solid number 5 for him. So, I mean, we were all harping on the fact that they have no pitching coming up in AAA, you know, between Blaine Hardy and Miller, who they just called up, they just sent back down. Well, they're in trouble, but Robbie Ray to the rescue right now, Al.
Yeah, it was impressive to see how Robbie really, because again, when he first came out in that second inning and to give up those first few runs, I'm sitting there like, oh, okay, this could go really downhill pretty fast. But he really salvaged his start and really seemed to you know, gain his control as the game went on. Now, if you remember in that second inning, again, going back to that moment, the Pirates took the lead with a pair of RBI doubles. The first was by Gabby Sanchez. It was a sharp grounder down the third baseline. Miguel Cabrera got his glove down just a tad late as he tried for the backhanded stop. Now, Cabrera acted as if he should have definitely fielded the ball. I think he should have. I think he definitely had a chance and should have made that play. But if you remember the second double, which was made by Travis Snyder, it was a fly ball to left center. That center fielder, Ezequiel Carrera, appeared ready to catch. But then he let it drop as he pulled his glove back at the last moment, perhaps because he thought that left fielder Rajai Davis was going to catch it. That's a play, and that's why I harped on, you know, when we gave our midseason grades for the Tigers, their defense hasn't been great this season. Again, they're among, if you look at the stats, they're among the last in the league when it comes to defensive proficiency for the Tigers. A lot of people fail to realize that. And Brad Ausmus immediately addressed it afterwards, once that ball popped down and it looked to be, you know, there should be some confusion between Ezequiel Carrera and Davis. And Ausmus said afterwards, quote, "I addressed it immediately afterward, but I wasn't so concerned about what the reason was." Again, it seemed to be a mental lapse, and this team right. wasn't on the same page. And that's what I want to bring up. This team mentally also doesn't look there right now, Alex. They seem maybe tired of a long season. I just don't see the mental focus there for the Tigers right now.
Six errors in the last four games before the game yesterday. And although the Carrera glove thing wasn't counted, I mean, that's basically an error.
Right.
And they didn't count it as an error, but that's basically an error. So really, you're looking at seven errors over the last five games. Three errors in one game, that disastrous game from the other day. You saw two errors in the Yankee game. It's bad, like you said, and at first I wasn't really all for it. You figure the base running's getting a little bit better. Defense isn't that big of a determinant for the Tigers, but obviously it is. I mean, they're costing them runs now. The errors are finally costing them runs.
Yeah.
Earlier on in the season when they made errors, it necessarily didn't hurt them too much because they just had a powerful offense. It was one run, didn't really matter. Sometimes the errors wouldn't even account for runs. Now it's really coming to matter because the errors are counting for runs in close games. I mean, they're losing by 2-3 runs
right.
based off some errors. So
yeah.
I totally agree. The defense is lackluster. It doesn't look like they're focused. And I watched the interview yesterday from Victor Martinez in the locker room. And, you know, they asked him, you know, what can you guys do right now when the bats aren't working? He just said, "I don't know. I just don't know. You just kind of keep hitting, see what happens." No Tiger has an answer for it.
No Tiger.
The panic button on the Richter scale is a 9.5, Al.
So,
I agree.
So you're moving it up now. You agree with me now.
It's really up there.
You've come around, my brother. You've come around. Yes, I definitely agree. And, you know, when you are in a slump, I mean, there is really it's really no answer for it. You know, it's just one of them funks that you're in. You just got to kind of play your way out of it. That's how baseball is. I mean, sometimes when you're at bat, you just don't have it. They just got to keep on swinging. But again, just the mental focus for me is big. And, you know, just the attitude, how they approach it. You know, they got to come out hungry. I just don't see that eye of the tiger, so to speak, if you will. Hopefully they get it together, but, you know, things are certainly winding down here. It's good to come back home now because they play actually the next five games at home. They continue this four-game series with the Pirates at home, and sometimes coming back home can give you a resurgence of just a boost of energy and confidence. That's something Torrey Hunter talked about after yesterday's game, coming home to the fans who they hope to be supportive of them, just going out there and supporting the Tigers and seeing their home crowd in the stands supporting them. It can do a lot mentally for this team. Hopefully this could be an energizer boost for them.
Yeah, so obviously, Al, with the energizer boost coming home, there has to be a savior in this. You saw it was the ESPN headline, Robbie Ray trying to be the savior today,
mm-hmm.
Yesterday in the game, and then Ezequiel Carrera getting called up. Is he going to provide them a much-needed spark? But for you, Al, out of those five home run hitters in the Tigers, who do you expect to come through over the next home series as the savior for them, if at all?
Yeah, I believe that JD, V-Mart, or Miguel. Out of those three. I mean, those three are your prime time
guys.
See,
I don't think Miguel has any chance of being the savior right now because he's not 100%.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem 100%. Even though he may say that, hey, I'm 100%, but he just doesn't seem like it. But it's going to be between those guys. V-Mart, you know, it's going to be one of your home run guys between V-Mart, Miggy, JD. Even I can even see, you know, maybe Ian Kinsler being that guy. I don't know.
I've got my money on V-Mart. It's his contract year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been the leader so far throughout the whole season. Yeah, JD Martinez, a nice surprise. But you can't really expect too much out of the guy. I mean, this guy was released for the Astros for some reason.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For me, Miguel Cabrera's not 100%. Ian Kinsler makes some occasional errors. I don't think he's completely focused yet. My money's on JD is on Victor Martinez, V-Mart,
yeah, V-Mart
to be the savior
guy
in this home series.
Yeah, V-Mart can definitely be that guy. I also want to shout out Alex Avila. How about that home run he hit? I mean, he was great last night.
Although his average isn't great, he had some clutch hits when it matters.
Alex Avila was great last night. I must point out that.
Not just last night. I mean, in the Yankee series, he had a clutch home run.
He's been solid. He's been pretty solid during this this funk. So hopefully that rubs off to the other team, the other players, I should say. All right, folks, again, you can weigh in on this, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 9527, facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. Really quick before Barbershop Wednesday, Alex, how about 15,000 at Meet the Spartans yesterday? That is great stuff. I always say success breeds attention. This is their highest ever Meet the Spartans event. I mean, this just shows how many people are really starting to notice this team, how many fans success is bringing this team. And D'Antonio, I tell you what, he's the perfect coach to have in a situation of attention, because I believe he's a great motivator. He's great at finding that chip on their shoulder. Even though everyone seems to be gung-ho over the Spartans, you had the Big Ten Network down at the practice field yesterday interviewing different players. Don't know if you saw the coverage on that. I caught a little bit of it and actually DVR'd the rest of it, so I'll be checking that out. I caught it when Shalit Calhoun was on the television. But I tell you what, this team is being picked by many around this area and being picked nationally by a lot of people. It's the eighth ranked team in the entire nation with the preseason coaches poll. People are starting to take notice that this team is pretty good. No longer is that team flying under the radar. They are certainly on the forefront or of the heels of attention nationally. And I think D'Antonio is the perfect guy to put in the situation. But hey, you know, fans and kids are watching this team growing up to want to be Spartans, and that can do a lot recruiting wise as well.
Yeah, not only was the event just great to see Spartan fans at it and the record, but how cool is it to have the Rose Bowl trophy, the Big Ten championship trophy, and the fact that you can go tour the press box in the same event? I'm curious to hear, if you were at the event, if you're listening, what was the coolest or what was the most entertaining part of that event yesterday?
Well, I tell you what, did you see that the kids even had a chance to call a play? They got a chance to do play-by-play on the radio and, you know, act like they were on the radio of a certain play. That was pretty cool, too. It just added incentive for people to go. But 15,000, that's unbelievable. I did not call out the Michigan State football team for this, though. I don't know if you saw this. It's pretty funny. It was in every headliner I saw nationally.
I know you're about to
You know where I'm going with this. Outside of the MSU football locker room, they have this unbelievable saying. It's got words of motivation on there. And Michigan State misspelled the word accurate. Did you see that?
Accuracy.
I'm reading accurate here. They misspelled accurate, and they spelled it with one C instead of two C's, I believe.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there like, it got national attention. ESPN had it on there. Oh, gosh. That's pretty bad. So it's really nice. They just oops. that was pretty funny. And,
some of those kids calling the play-by-play, they might be able to spell that word.
I tell you what, that was a pretty funny story. All right, Alex, well, let's hit the second break. When we come back, we'll discuss Cassante York and his glaring video. Oh, boy, we'll talk about that and so much more. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
On the next Fresh Air, Jonathan Weissman, who covers Congress for the New York Times.
This is a Congress that really is doing nothing.
Weissman says by all measurements, laws passed, days in session, issues dealt with, this sharply divided Congress is the least productive in history. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock. Thanks a lot, Alex. All right. Well, it is World Wednesday. That's why we're playing some music from variances, different locations from around the world. Appreciate that, Alex. Well, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It's time for Barbershop Wednesday, ladies and gents. And today we are talking about the Cassante York video. If you haven't seen it, Michigan right receiver Cassante York was involved in a little scuffle outside of a bar. not too long ago, and he was caught on film just cold cocking a 23-year-old man outside of that bar. We're asking you all to call in and weigh in on this. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. What do you think should happen now to Cassante York?
Well, I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation.
Yes, Barbershop Wednesday, ladies and gents. So little time. Let's dive right into it, Alex. I tell you what. When I saw this video, it's really alarming. It's really in your face for me. Again, I'll describe it again. If you haven't seen the video, it's Cassante. He's in the video, and it seems as though him and his boys get into it with some other guys there. There's a conversation happening between Cassante York's friend and the guys that they got into it with. I don't know what words were exchanged. Again, there is no audio on this video, as most surveillance videos don't have audio, and as they're talking, it seems as though his friend kind of backs up, and the guy that his friend was talking to seems to kind of step a little towards Cassante York's way. It is not facing him by no means, because initially when I read the report, it seemed as though Cassante made it seem like the guy was in his face, ready about to brawl and maybe throw a haymaker. The video doesn't allude to that at all. It even seems as though the guy, he was not facing the direction of Cassante York at all. But all of a sudden, in a matter of seconds, Cassante winds up and just completely lays this guy out. I mean, he was out. I mean, he had to have the use of a breathing tube. He lost a tooth. He was knocked unconscious. Somebody called the ambulance, and the ambulance described the caller saying that the man was, quote, profusely bleeding, end quote. It's bad. It's really, really bad. And looking at the video, I think Brady Hoke must send down a very, very harsh penalty. The
sure.
proof is in the video. That no matter how much Cassante tries to talk himself out of this, I don't see how any situation alludes to Cassante. It's not like the guy hit him first or put his hands on Cassante first. Seemed to be a conversation. Seemed to be kind of winding down. All of a sudden, Cassante just cold cocks him. Brady Hoke must send down a harsh penalty. If it's sitting him out this entire season, hey, I agree with it. I totally agree with that after watching that video.
Especially because it's at the college level. Mm-hmm. I mean, this reminds me exactly of what happened with Adam Pac-Man Jones years ago outside the club when the girl poured the beer on him. If you remember, Al, we talked about it all last year. Pac-Man Jones lays up, sucker punches this girl, and he gets suspended for 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
And this is at the professional level. Now, this is way worse because, one, it's a college student. Two, there was no preconceived action or notion or anything like that. The third thing about this is I heard a report that it was someone on the hockey team that they were quarreling with. And
really?
For as a Michigan State fan, you may remember years back in the mid-2000s, when the Michigan State football team got in a little bit of a brawl with the Michigan State hockey team.
Yeah.
And that didn't end well. I know you remember that, Al.
I do. And, it's funny you bring that up because Craig Peterson on our Twitter, Craig Peterson 89, he says, quote, isn't the Cassante situation identical to Winston at MSU a few years ago, right down to the victim being a member of the hockey team? So, yeah, it's very, very identical to that situation. I agree.
Yeah. But the worst part, although it was identical, is when Michigan State had that whole hockey incident back in the mid-2000s, hockey, it was a brawl between both sides.
Mm-hmm.
This one, regardless of the confrontation, it looked like the hockey player may have gotten up in his friend's face a little bit, kind of got really close to him, looked like they were exchanging some harsh words. But there was no brawl. There was no violence at all. Cassante York started the violence. Everyone ran away.
Yeah, and this
there
wasn't
any. There wasn't a brawl by any means.
Yeah, exactly. When you say the word brawl, it insinuates that this was, they were going at it. You know what I mean? And both were throwing punches, but this guy, he was completely caught off guard. Cassante York just winds up and hits him. And it's just still amazing to me. It's still amazing to me, Alex, that players on the college level, and even players in the pro level, players, who are in the national eye, who are athletes of a preeminent program like a U of M, they don't understand that the spotlight is always on them. In the media, they always tell us that the mic is always hot. You know, you and I have to watch what we say up here because it could get us in a lot of trouble. You know, we have to be very, very, we have to be watchful and mindful of how we carry ourselves, not only in the booth and or in front of the camera, but out of it as well. You would think we get that message, but there are countless athletes in the pro and college level that still don't understand that. You know, I was having a conversation with a student, you know, who I'm definitely mentoring here at MSU, who wants to go into broadcast journalism. And I was talking to him, and he's really good friends with, you know, with athletes here at Michigan State University. And he was telling me, you know, I won't name the athlete, but he was telling me that there was a situation where, you know, they're going out at night. Or, no, not even going out. One of these athletes, and you know, him and this athlete needed a ride somewhere. So he calls up one of his homeboys, and there happened to be he pulls up, and there happened to be a smell of the odor of marijuana in the car. So what this athlete does is he says, no, I can't be a part of this situation. You know, what if we get pulled over or something like that? It's not my name. It's not their name that's going to be in the paper. It's going to be my name in the paper if we get caught in that situation. And he says, he kindly declines, no, it's okay, I'll walk. That right there is a smart move, a heads-up move from a player who understands that something that seems minuscule can blow up and really haunt his or her career. I just don't understand. Many people get it, but there's a lot out there that don't. Because Sante York could have easily walked away from that situation, gone home, went to bed, woke up the next morning, fine. You know, I just don't understand. And, you know, we see this happen far too often with so many players, and I just don't understand it. Again, looking at the video, it is a very in-your-face, blatant punch that did not need to happen, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, Brady Hoke, he's got to send down a harsh penalty. Send him out for a year because it's that in your face. I mean, the kid had to have a breathing tube, for goodness sake. A breathing tube down his throat. That's craziness.
Yeah. I'd be shocked that even if it's not even a year, Al, I would be shocked if it wasn't even off the team.
Right.
I mean, we've seen guys kicked off the team in the past with other colleges for when the police are involved. If anything is involved, any kind of court issued ordeal, that's going to grant removal from the team.
Yeah, I think for a year. Because I think
he's going to be removed?
I think a harsh penalty should be handed down. But I'm also a big proponent into giving a kid a second chance. Because let's be honest here. You know, this is a kid. I mean, he obviously doesn't understand that, you know, what type of public perception he's in and public situation he's in. He's a player for one of the most, you know, storied programs in college football history. You have to be mindful of these certain things. He obviously didn't understand that. A harsh punishment should be handed down, but give him a second chance. Give him a second chance. I'm a firm believer in that. He's still a young kid.
Al,
he's still learning.
Sure, but Al, from Graham Glasgow to Taylor Lewan to all of the off
Taylor
the field.
Taylor Lewan got a second chance. He definitely got second chances. Exactly.
But look at all the off-the-field issues that have happened with this Michigan football team since Brady Hoke took over.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that with all these second chances, the message still isn't clear.
So you think that's
why I wouldn't be too surprised if it was removed from the team. It's not like Lewan was their star. I mean, he's a draft pick.
Right, exactly. He's in the NFL now.
You're talking about a redshirt freshman that hasn't really played a lot. So that's why I wouldn't be too surprised if it's harsher than a year, it might be removal from the team.
Right, but if Lewan got a second chance and all those others got a second chance, you can't victimize this kid just because
Lewan and Glasgow were both crucial roles. I mean, the wide receiver depth of Michigan is huge.
I agree, but I definitely agree that if you got to be fair to this kid, you got to lay down the hammer on this young man. But I still think he deserves a chance to cause in a situation like this, you learn a lot about yourself, a lot about you as a human being. He definitely regrets, I'm sure, what he did. And is probably thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble, which he is. But I'm a big proponent on giving him a second chance. If Taylor Lewan got a second chance, give this kid a second chance. You know what I mean? You know, come on now.
But at the end of the day, Al, it's amazing how many off the field issues that have happened with Michigan versus Michigan State.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, aside from the Max Bullock ordeal at the end of the year,
right.
Michigan State kept quiet for the entire season. Michigan, on the other hand, three or four. I think the count is at three, right, for the year.
Yeah, I believe so.
Glasgow, Lewan, and now York. I guess you want to count that.
Right, exactly.
So, it's amazing that the parallel and the switch between the two programs.
There obviously needs to be some type of mentorship, extended mentorship going on with that program, because I guess their players aren't getting it. So, again, folks, what do you think should happen to Cassante York? You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. We will read your responses to the situation on tomorrow's Current Sports. Same time, same place tomorrow, folks. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. Special thanks to Terry Fitzwater, who is the publisher of the Midwest Racing Scene. Excuse me. He was a great guest, gave us great insight into this whole Tony Stewart and Kevin Ward Jr. situation. As always, take care, have one fantastic day, and hey, be easy, people.